So, well, I guess first of all, just give me an inkling into how you guys came up with the idea to plan this conference. What inspired it?
Well, the conference actually, this is the second conference.
Second one in Seattle, or?
No, the second one in the United States. The first one was in San Francisco last August. And I don't know really what the guys down there, what their purpose for getting the conference together. I think mainly was educational and informational. But for the people here in Seattle, we wanted to form a sense of community and continuity, and also continue the goals of educating not only the general public but ourselves, educating ourselves about different erotic identities and different definitions for what it means to be female to male in this culture, and different ways in which we can organize to acquire civil rights in the United States.
So, how many people are down there, and are they coming from all over the place, or?
We don't know the numbers. I'm guessing over 250, but I'm guessing close to 300 people.
Wow.
And there are people from England, from Canada, from Australia.
Wow.
And I don't know if anybody came from south of the border, but that's the information I have so far.
So what is the structure like? Like, are you breaking off into plenary sessions and things like that, or?
Yeah, the first night, which was Friday night, we had a drag show and fashion show, and we had speakers from different communities in Seattle, the gay and lesbian community, the mayor, yesterday we had panels all day long, panels on identity and political activism and history and sexuality. And today it's an all-day thing, an all-day presentation about medical concerns, surgical concerns, and psychological concerns.
So now you're obviously one of the organizers, but have you had much chance to sit in on the
Well, I
sessions?
actually didn't have any chance. I presented one panel on FTM identity, and then I helped conduct two other panels, one on racism and one on finding a partner. So my whole day since I got there, about 6 or 7 hours were taken up with panels or wrap sessions.
So, were there any sort of resolutions or anything that came out of the workshops that you chaired?
Well, we've realized that an hour and a half is far too short to talk about racism.
Sure.
You know, and so that, and it was really interesting because I was on the panel with, there were two FTMs, black FTMs, and myself. I'm Hispanic. And my first comment to the group was, my experience being Hispanic is that I'm invisible. I'm more invisible than somebody who's black. And then from then on, the rest of the time was taken over with issues of black and white, so that
So
I mean,
you
it
were
reinforced
invisible
my
again.
invisibility. It was very ironic.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, but that was an important thing for me to see too. You know, sometimes I go around in my head with my ideas and I take them for granted, and the reality of my life is the reality of my life. And the FTM identity one, which was one of the most highly attended, was very charged with emotion. It was very positive because some of us have begun to identify or live as men without taking hormones or without having any surgeries. And that's a new way of identifying. And there was a lot of, the reason why we did that panel is because there was a lot of resistance to that in the FTM community.
No, interesting. So, do you feel that there's more understanding now after having that discussion?
Well, it was, the people there were a tiny fraction of all of the support groups in the United States and outside of the United States. But I think it's beginning to plant a seed to bring about change.
Mm-hmm.
People were very impressed by the speaker's courage, and it was something new to think about. And we aired a lot of the fears, and that is a lot of traditional and conservative F2Ms think that if new people, new identities come in, that we will be marginalized out of existence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important to air, because that's not the truth. There's room for everybody. And it only strengthens the movement when we can widen the definition of male and female to be something other than two boxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was in that box and I came over in this box, because that doesn't do anything to dismember the economy of gender.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So what would you say, having been in, I guess, three sessions yesterday, what have the highlights been for you so far?
The highlights have been being in a building with so many F2Ms was really, really emotional and empowering for me, because I know that we're out there, but it was almost spiritual to be in a building with so many other people that face the same issues that I do, or at least some of the same issues that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And another highlight was that I met very few Hispanic F2Ms, and that is sort of a loss that I take with me, and a concern that I take with me, and a new focus of where I want to put my energy into forming a community of Hispanic F2Ms. Because when I decided to transition, I lost my family because they couldn't deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And family, the extended family, is the basis of the Hispanic culture and society. And so my need now is to form some sort of society of people that share my culture.
Mm.
You know, and we were not there in numbers, or if we were, I wasn't aware of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it is that there's enough interest from people outside of the F2M community that gives me hope. Hope that the idea of gender will become more fluid, and hope that maybe one day will be accepted by society as a whole.
Mm-hmm. I actually wanted to ask you about that. Were there a lot of non-F2M people down at the conference for various reasons?
Yes, there were a lot of people. There were a lot of cross-dressers from the lesbian community. There were a lot of male-to-female transsexuals. There were a lot of just genetic men and women who were interested in gender and who were curious about who and what we were. There were a lot of people that were interested in us sexually, which was really an eye-opener for me. I have gone through being afraid of approaching people because of the discrepancies in my body, because I may look male, but I don't have a penis, and I don't want to have a penis. I want to have what I have. But it's like a lot of times people freak out because they say, well, if you're a male identified, why don't you have a penis? And that's what I've come across.
Mm-hmm.
If I've dated gay men, or if I've dated someone who considers herself a straight woman, which is something else I've never understood, because I don't think anybody that goes out with me is straight. Because it just, if you deal with me wholly in a physical way, you know, I don't have a penis, and so, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
That was really interesting.
Now, you mentioned there was also a forum on history.
That was part of the identity, too, reclaiming our history. Most people don't realize that there were passing women and there were F2Ms all through history. We have a huge archive, or we're trying to get together a huge archive about F2Ms in the United States, and then we're going to move on to other countries. And we are all through history, but a lot of times our history has been recorded as lesbian history, because there's that threading in commonality,
mm-hmm,
that we share. But a lot of people that have been claimed as lesbians really were F2M, in our opinion.
Hmm.
You know, not all of them, but certainly some of them. And we have two people right now Jason Cromwell, who's a cultural anthropologist, and Ken Morris, who are working very hard to set up at least some historical basis for our existence.
Hmm.
A lot of times the prejudice we encounter, especially from the mainstream media, is ignorance about the fact that we exist. We're not a fad, and we didn't start 5 years ago on a Geraldo show, you know? Because I remember somebody saying to me, oh, weren't you on the cover? And so I go, yeah. And he says, oh, you're an FTM, right? And I go, yeah. He goes, yeah, everybody is this year. Well, you know, I was an FTM way long before I met you, before I made the cover of that magazine, before I made the cover of the magazine, and before anybody ever got on a talk show.
Hmm.
We were there, and that's part of the reason that we need to document our history.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, can you think of any off the top of your head, like heroes from the past?
Billy Tipton.
Okay.
And Alan Hart. And there was a pope in 1855 called Pope Joan, who was known as John the Eighth, Pope John the Eighth.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. I think the church is denying it, but there are archives actually showing that Pope John the Eighth existed. James Howe, Christian Davies, James Gray, John Taylor, James Allen, James Barry, Charlie Parkins, Frank Du Bois, Charlie Wilson, Murray Hall, Little Joe Monahan, there was a movie out about Little Joe Monahan, and it was a complete distortion of his life.
Oh, wow.
And it was very upsetting, you know. Johann Berger, Michael Dillon, Lou Sullivan, who's really important. He died a few years ago, and I had the opportunity to meet him, and he forged a lot of ground in the FTM community itself, because he was gay identified.
Hmm.
And at the time, nobody wanted to come out with their orientation or their erotic identity other than being straight, because that's how we've been groomed by the medical and psychological and psychiatric communities to believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go through years and years of therapy that reinforces the stereotype that we are straight identified. When really many of us, I mean, at least the people I know, are bi or gay identified.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, Brandon Tina, who was murdered in the Midwest, I believe what happened was that he had a few tickets outstanding, and the police outed him in the newspaper, and a brother and an ex-boyfriend of the woman he was dating, after constant harassment, raped and murdered him.
Mm-hmm.
And when the press got a hold of the story, they recorded his name as being Tina Brandon, even though he had been living full-time as a man for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how our history is appropriated when we die, you know. And then we don't have a voice to say, this is not how I want to be remembered. Or
mm-hmm.
There were a lot more. I couldn't copy all the names down.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing a slideshow, and I was trying to write as fast as I could.
But anyway, yeah, so it sounds like a very empowering conference.
Yeah.
Is it?
I'm very happy that it's going on.
Mm-hmm. And you said today is the forum on surgical concerns?
Today is the forum on surgical concern and dealing with the medical and psychiatric communities, and what kind of surgeries people have available. We also what kind of the dosages of hormones, what the changes are going to be. And we also have a specific rap group that's a couple of hours long, focusing on those of us in the community who do not want to take hormones and who do not want to have surgery. And that's a first.
Hmm.
Okay. Because there's a lot of pressure within the community to have us conform. You have to take hormones. You have to do surgery. If you don't, you're not really FTM.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so it was important to put that rap group in there.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So you know, what do you hope is going to come out of the conference, and what kind of resolutions are happening so far?
Well, what I hope that comes out of the conference is, first of all, a continued effort to organize locally, to fight local government, and to try to establish our presence in society. That's in the long run. In the short run, we've established an organization called the Female to Male Conference Education Project here in Seattle, which will be bringing out, among other things, a newsletter about the conference, and hopefully when people start to network, then there'll be projects, creative projects, that will help the community and maybe strengthening ties with other communities in existence now, you know, just making ourselves visible. The reason we don't have rights, aside from having been denied our history, is that many of us pass so well that we don't have to do anything, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to go out there and put our lives on the line, but if we do that, then we don't have any rights either. So this is, hopefully, this is my hope, is that people will organize and actually start to be politically active and acquire rights for us.